8 years is a long time. Man can learn some things in 8 years by himself from the world. Papa John's fantastic deals on medium-sized pizzas. Get 2 for $5, limited time. Go to Papa John's. Papa John's. That's my papa.
Sorry. Very good. Can you please read it again? But make sure to always say papajohns.com. Because we really want people to use the website to order. Because then we don't have to pay high school kids minimum wage anymore.
Papajohns.com. .com. But Papa John's. That's my papa.com, John. Welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast for August 27th, 2015. I had to think about the year for a little bit.
You always do that.
We're getting pretty close to like another year.
Well, and you had to do it 8 different times for this show, so I know it's trying.
What? What do you mean 8 different times?
It's been 8 years you've had to remember.
Oh, yeah. That's right. It's hard. But, yes.
What's one of those other 7? I can't remember. Yeah.
I was thinking, wait, 16? No, not yet.
It's August!
I'm excited. Alright, yeah, welcome to the show. This is Mike and there's AJ. Yeah, but yeah, when was our actual 8th anniversary?
Monday, the 24th, 8 years.
8 years! Since
the first episode went live, and it's hard to listen to that episode.
There's like a lot of unnecessary audio editing in that first one, if I remember correctly. There's a lot of like trumpets blaring between things. It was funny.
Yeah.
I think I insisted on it.
Yeah, you wanted goofy sound things and...
I don't know. It was like a radio show. They have those goofy sounds. Have you seen the douche in Parks and Rec at all? He's like the parody of like a DJ, disc jockey thing.
He's not.
I like him. All right, so... So what are we doing, Edge Guy? Because we're kind of switching up the format a little bit forward.
It's time for a change. Some sweeping changes to the Exploding Barrel podcast. Basically, this comes down to the fact that while I still enjoy playing video games and other nerdy things, I don't go through as many as I used to, which is giving me a hard time to have things to talk about on a lot of the show, which is why it's been a lot of, well, I played Hearthstone and nothing else. So
I do like Hearthstone, though.
Yes, and we'll probably still talk about Hearthstone. Yeah. So what we're doing is we are kind of changing the format of the show to not just be about video games, but all things that we like.
But so, mostly video games.
So there might be a Disney reference in there somewhere. Or, we'll talk about movies, we'll talk about TV shows. We'll do, like, you know, if something like Comic-Con or E3 happens, that'll get its own show.
Yeah, or so much and so forth.
If we can't think of anything recently we've done, we'll come up with some random weird topic to talk about. Basically, we're just going to try to create a 20 to 30 minute conversation on one thing. Mostly video games still, probably.
I think we could still have, like, maybe, like, a miscellaneous section at the end if there's something else recent that we want to talk about.
Yeah.
Like, if I am reviewing something and I want to mention it.
We'll come up with some clever video game-themed title for that end segment, like Extra Life or something.
Oh, I don't bonus know. Round. Bonus round.
Okay, we could do bonus round. But bonus round could be, like, a Japanese game show.
What? An Extra Life can't be?
I guess that would be a lightning round, wouldn't it?
Yeah, what are you talking about?
Okay, fine. It could be the bonus round.
It doesn't have to have a name. We can just do
it. What about the bonus level?
But what's called bonus level? What's that called in Sonic? Would you do like that?
Special zone.
Special zone. It's a little extra bit at the end. Or in the middle, depending on which Sonic. I don't know. Like,
we're going to be kind of more freeform and just kind of go with the conversation anymore.
Like how excited you got. You were going to see this face like special zone. He loved it immediately.
It's ridiculous.
Special zone. Loves it.
I think there's some merit.
Jesus, I actually forgot what it was called. He's like, oh, that's perfect. I'm like, okay, we'll use special zone, I guess. I was just throwing shit against the wall and seeing what stuck. But
well, that stuck right to my special zone.
Yeah, apparently. Jesus. All right.
So, so that means, like next week, probably going to talk about Metal Gear.
Oh, yes, we are. I am so pumped for that. It's too bad,
too bad it comes out the day after my day off of work.
I'm just annoyed because, game review problems. Like, my copy's probably going to come in, tomorrow, like the day after.
Oh, that's so tough.
Well, because all the reviews you're reading now, they did a review event. Well, we don't go to those because I don't know.
Ethics.
I don't know. It's just like ethics. It's just weird. Also, it's like I was going to review the game. They're not going to fly me to the thing. Well, that's like going to like the review event is like sketchy ethics. But like if they like said we'll fly you to the review event, then that's just pure up like bad.
Yeah.
They're just giving me money. So, yeah, so I don't know. But, man, I want to play that game. It's getting some good reviews.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. It's always fun when, like there's that big game that comes out that everyone needs. It's like, yep. Play this one.
Right.
So, anyway, so for this week, what we're going to do, and this was your idea, so do you want to present it?
Yeah, so I just kind of thought, let's try to figure out what the best game was to come out in the last 8 years. So, basically, throughout the run of this show
which,
so far.
Which is more or less the last console generation minus a year or two.
Right, well, and I don't mean to, like, jump in. I feel like the first really big release when we started doing this show, or maybe we missed it, was, like, Bioshock 1.
Around the time we did the first show is actually when the Bioshock demo was just released. Remember, like, they were on Spike TV, and Ken Levine was just like, oh, yeah, the demo's out right now.
You know, it's funny, because I was thinking about that, like, first off, they don't really release demos like that anymore, huh?
They just released a demo for Dying Light the other day.
It's, like, they randomly. Did, like, really late. It used to be, like...
Well, you know why there's no demos? Because of Twitch.
Oh, yeah.
That's, like, kind of the new demo.
That is, like, everything. If it has a multiplayer component, it's just an open beta now.
Yeah. The beta.
The beta. Test the it. Open beta, yeah.
Yeah. That's the best. A genuine closed beta, like, that's hard to get into, that's one thing. But I feel like when it's, like, open beta, I guess you're testing the network systems, but, like
more than anything.
How much is the game going to change right. at that point?
But
anyway, so, yeah, I mean, Bioshock, I think Call of Duty, the first Modern Warfare came out shortly after we started the show. 2007
was Uncharted 1.
Yeah, that was that holiday season. So that kind of gives you an idea of where we're starting from.
Right.
So, now, to clarify, do you want what I think is the best game that came out around that time, or my personal favorite that came out?
But I don't understand that argument.
Well...
I never get that.
For example, you could say that...
Because I know... Like,
I'm trying to think of a metaphor. The Mona Lisa is the best painting ever made because it's like has the most technical craftsmanship.
And I guess, but...
But I really like your Holy Moses sign on the wall. I think that's my favorite painting. Right. I don't think it's the best painting ever made, but I like it the most.
See, I guess. I don't like as much of this.
I think best you're trying to be a little more objective, and favorite you're trying to be more subjective.
I don't really make that distinction. There's like the one. I mean, let's
Because you're just right about everything.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I could probably guess yours. You could probably guess mine. We could talk. We kind of like go through it, though. Like talk about some of the... biggest ones. Like, you know, Bioshock 1 was...
Yeah, that was a big deal.
It was interesting. So that was 2007, late 2007. So 8 years removed from that was 1999. So, like, GoldenEye came out in 1998. Right?
Yeah.
And it's funny, like, 8 years from now till then, it's like, maybe Bioshock's still the best one. It's
yeah.
like, we haven't really progressed quite as far.
Well, it was kind of, it was interesting in that it was... Well, I guess Half-Life does this, too. So much of the character of that game was the world.
Right. It was a super cool atmosphere, and it had, like, a good twist, which was, like, which kind of... I think yeah, the twist
everyone
kinda,
likes a good twist.
The twist helped, like, the story stand out maybe more than it would have otherwise.
You know what's so interesting to me? You know that game was built on Unreal 2?
Yeah, I did know that. You can almost say kind of see. But again, like, so that's the kind of thing that, like, maybe affects character models, but, like, the environment, not so much.
Right.
It doesn't really matter.
Or they customize the hell out of it.
Right. It's like, you know, it's like the one thing that doesn't look good in that game is, like, real people faces, which is the one thing that helps is most of the people are supposed to be, like, monster people anyways.
Or wearing masks or
right.
something.
Right, so, yeah, or, like, you know, they're in a deep-sea diver outfit, so it's kind of, you know, okay for the most part. So, but, like... The flaws of that game, which are like, you know, we kind of all know now, it's that, you know, the ending's kind of weak, and, like, the choice system is completely broken, because it's just more rewarding to be good.
Well,
there's no reason to, like...
Well, and even that, it was... You may as well have just said in the beginning of the game, are you going to kill them all or save them all? Because there's no point to being granular about it.
Right, right. So, yeah, so that was kind of, like...
Did you ever see the proposed ending someone came up with that game that I thought was really interesting?
What?
So, what's the guy who... Spoilers for Bioshock... the guy who's the villain, the twist.
Andrew Ryan.
Not Andrew Ryan, the other guy who was like, the actual villain.
Oh, Atlas.
Yeah, but he had his real name too.
Fink, something like that, yeah.
Him. So the idea was he manipulates those regeneration chambers, so now he's linked to it, and so that he keeps coming back to life. And so the end of the game is, like, Rapture's filling with water, and the little sisters need to get out. So you can either take the easy ending, which would have been just save yourself and leave, or you take the really hard ending, which is you have to, like, load them all into the submarine, but he keeps coming at you, and every time you kill him, he respawns down the hallway and just keeps coming.
That would have been definitely more interesting then.
But here's the cool thing, though. If you do the good ending, you trap him underwater, the whole thing fills. He just keeps dying and regenerates under the ocean forever. Which is kind of like a really cool...
It's like a, Prometheus sort of thing, right?
Yeah. So, I always thought that was neat.
That's neat. I mean, definitely more interesting than what they did.
Right.
That you can do.
I never saw the good ending. What happens?
I mean, you never saw the good ending?
No, I was bad. I killed him all. I wanted more power.
You leave with the little sisters, and then, like, they show, like, a montage of, like, you raising them, and then, like, you're on your deathbed, and they're, like, all around you.
Well, that's nice.
It's definitely nicer than the dumb bad ending.
Where I think I launched a nuke.
Yeah, you launched a nuke somewhere, maybe? I don't know. Well, yeah. It is weird, though, because now we're kind of removed from Infinite, and I think most people would probably say the first one was better still.
I think overall, yeah.
I mean, some people, like, are oddly down on Infinite. I don't think it's...
Yeah, it's not, like, bad by any means.
I think Infinite has, like, the problem that Metal Gear Solid 2 has, where, like, there was so much pressure for these people to make a sequel to a successful game.
They also had a slightly misleading trailer.
Well, no, it's just that their games became, like, about the nature of video game sequels in this really weird way.
Yeah.
It's like this really weird metal way, so, you know...
I see what you mean, yeah.
Right, so that's just kind of so interesting. So, next year, though, I think the big game, 2008, was Fallout 3, which hard to believe, like,
well,
Fallout 3.
Metal Gear as well was that year.
Oh, Gear 4. Well, Metal Gear 4, yeah, Metal... It's funny, because I can always remember that first trailer, where it's like, it's set 2008, then they scratch at the 8th, and 7.
Fuck you guys!
Like, well, we actually have to delay it to that year. Oh.
That was fun.
I wish if I had more time, like, I could go back to, like, a month or so and replay 4 again, because I haven't played it more than that one time.
I played just the one time. The problem is, it really didn't actually play.
When I played that game, I mean, I did it, like, straight through. I mean, I'll say this. I haven't, like, had a hard time putting a game down. And part of it was I was invested in, like, the three previous game stories and seeing how things happened.
Well, don't forget, for me, for whatever reason, I hadn't beaten 3 until 3 or 4 days before 4 came. So I went right into it.
I mean, four is another game that, like, people are, like, hard on now, but that was a really cool game of time. And, you know, you could say that maybe it went too far in the cinematic sense.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of nice to see somebody take it that far. But the actual gameplay was really cool.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the whole, like, with the way the camouflage worked in that game, where it would, like, kind of just, like, blend in.
Yeah, that was cool.
Really neat. That was really kind of a different thing.
Remember they were like, you could play it from first person entirely, and everyone was like, no.
Right.
No, you can't.
Yeah, not so much. But and just like the really cool moments throughout that game. I mean, the going back to Shadow Moses and the fight
ruined
between
in the trailer.
Two. Well, that was the big thing with that
ruined
game.
Ruined in
the
trailer. Everything you say, I could say was ruined in the
right.
trailer.
Well, not everything. Like crawling through that, like, ship with the radiation.
That was the best part of the game.
Where, like, the top screen is, like, basically just, like, showing, like, the movie of, like, what everyone else is doing. And that was super cool.
Yeah, that was the best part of that
game.
And
then the final fight was really neat.
Would have been better if they played the correct music.
Yeah, he's still so weird about the Metal Gear Solid 1 theme.
The theme is just gone.
And I wonder if it'll just pop up in Phantom Pain. I doubt it.
It won't.
This is very weird. But no, I think that game was very interesting. And I think, like, the cinematic parts of it oddly make it age itself a bit worse. But it's kind of neat, because, like, once you can't just... If you just play it without that, and you can, it goes by much faster.
Very fast.
Much faster. But yeah, it would have been interesting to play that again before 5 came out, or maybe even after. But then Fallout 3, which is, it's hard to believe, like, Fallout 4 is about to come out now.
Yeah, I know.
That was, like, what really kickstarted me on, like, when we started the show, I had, like, no Western RPG.
Yeah, you were doing your adventures through Final Fantasy.
Yeah, that's right. That was like an opening, that was like a day one segment.
It was.
So, yeah, Jesus.
It all started because you found that copy of Final Fantasy 1 and 2 on GBA in my nightstand when I was moving.
That's right.
We were moving.
I was like, I could play this on my DS. Because I had a job where I was like a I was the computer lab assistant at my at the English department at YSU, my college. And that was just basically
sit there and make sure no one breaks anything.
Basically sit there and make sure the printer has paper. That was the big responsibility.
And you did it well.
I guess. Kind of well. Sometimes there was like the one lab I had to watch that no one would just ever go to. So I would literally just go to like this lounge area and sleep during my shift. And no one would ever know. Because no one ever went there. So I did it. Kind of okay. But, so yes, I had some JRPG experience before that, like, you know, I played through some games, like Tales of Symphonia, Super Mario RPG. 12, I beat Final Fantasy 12, but yeah, but then after that, I finally, like, I guess I'll play these Western RPGs.
Yeah, because you played FOD, then you went right into, what, KOTOR after that?
No, I went right into Mass Effect 1, because then 2 was going to come out. Then I did Oblivion before Skyrim. Then I did KOTOR. Yeah, and I basically went through everything except for like the old Infinity Engine games.
And you just said too, the whole Mass Effect series happened in this time.
Yeah, Mass Effect 1 was probably 2006 or 7. That might have been 6.
It might have been 6.
Right, but 2 was kind of ramping up. But, well, I think that's when, and you know, not to glaze over Fallout 3, but you know, what are we going to say about Fallout 3? But that was kind of like, the very interesting was when you had like Uncharted 2 and Mass Effect 2 and like those kind of games come out. And were those the same year?
You know what game actually came out right after we started this show?
What?
Team Fortress 2.
Really?
Yeah.
That game's still going, man.
Isn't that weird? It's like we waited forever for it and now it's here forever.
That's weird. So yeah, that's still going. Yeah, Portal was obviously a big deal.
Yeah, Portal and Portal 2 happened.
But yeah, so Uncharted 2 is definitely one of my favorites. I talk about a lot. I'm very interested to because I haven't actually played it since it came out.
Yeah,
and I'm very interested to play it again, see if like it holds up. Well, for
did
me.
You see someone online do like a comparison video between the trailer for the trilogy collection? Yeah. And they found the exact same shots in the original game, so you could see.
Was there like a big difference, you think?
The biggest difference is obviously in the first game.
Yeah.
And it gets like less and less as you go. In fact, they're actually criticizing the lack of motion blur in the scenes from Uncharted 3. But who knows if that's just in development or on purpose or what. It's like Last of Us, where they're using what used to be the in-game cinematic models as the actual models the whole time, so.
That's cool.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, man, I'm very excited, especially when we play 2, because that was my favorite. Mm-hmm. And that was probably my favorite game from that generation. I know you liked Mass Effect 2 a lot.
Yeah, Mass Effect 2 is pretty damn good.
Mass Effect
2? Pretty damn good.
I think both Mass Effect 3 and Uncharted 3 kind of have like the problems of like, well, how are we really going to top this? So they kind of did similar things. And then Mass Effect 3 was just kind of taken down a further peg by the whole ending controversy.
Yeah, that really kind of soured to that.
Right. And, like, they fixed it. But then it's like there's still, like, a bad taste in your mouth. And then you still have like, these people, like, oh, why did they even fix it? It was fine before. And then it becomes a debate about the ending instead of, like, about the game, you know?
And the problem is, even with the better ending, it still took, like, the game, like, widened out to this huge sea of possibilities by the second game, and then it very quickly funneled back down to one of three outcomes by the end of the third game. And it was, like, technically, there were a bunch of, like, galaxy, like, changing events that happened, but they just didn't matter to the ending.
I guess that's,
like, you could wipe out entire species.
I guess, like, maybe even just, like, fundamentally, like, there was no other way they can actually do it. Like, because it's just, you know, what are they going
to
do?
Yeah, it came time to end it, like, ugh.
I think that's the benefit you have with, like, Mass Effect 2 is that they don't have to end it.
Yeah, they don't have to worry about it.
They don't have to worry. Yeah, they kick that can down the road. And it's just like, oh, this is neat. I can't wait to see how this is all going to affect, like, the ending of this. And it's just like, oh.
And it affected, like, there are a lot of parts in the middle of the game that were well affected by what was going on.
Oh, yeah, that was always cool, but.
But the ultimate ending, yeah, there wasn't a lot of choice.
Right. I guess. Maybe you shouldn't go that big again. And I'd be surprised if Andromeda is like, we have to save the galaxy kind of a thing.
Yeah, and
again.
I don't think it is. I feel like there's almost a resistance to that notion now in a lot of modern games. Like,
well,
they're pulling back from the whole saving the world.
Right, even in Witcher 3 right now, and I don't know, I don't know if it's going to turn into that, but there isn't a save the world
quest,
you're
trying to
really
find somebody.
Right, and I really like that aspect. It's like, why can't more games just be like this? Yeah. Because, you know, it gives you an excuse to, like, you have a main quest, and it's, like, a personal thing, and then you, all these other threads kind of go from it. Yeah, that's fine.
That's what made Fallout 3 so good, to go back to it. for, you know, it does change a little bit by the end, but really, you're just looking for your father.
That's what, yeah, that's the kind of thing I say about the Fall games, is you can't, like, really save the world. It's already gone.
Right.
Yeah, you kind of get rid of that.
That's also probably the only open world game where deviating from the story didn't break the sense of urgency of the main quest. Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So speaking of main quest kind of hurting a game, Skyrim was a great game, obviously, big game, but I feel like it is weird, like, because the actual main quest of it is, like, so not the best part of that game at all.
I mean, it's not bad by any means, but it's not the best thing in
it's
the game.
It's not bad, but it also
sucked that the final fight against,
Well, that's what I said. It's like the finale of that was awful.
It was, because it wasn't you fighting the dragon, it was you and three other guys that you didn't even know until 2 minutes ago. Right. It's like, I have no connection.
And they're still, like, doing, they're, like, it also, like, the AI combat is not a highlight of that game's engine.
Yes, yeah, so you're just watching these three guys awkwardly swing at the dragon, and you're like, I'll just leave, I can do this. Right,
and you're like, and, like, the, like, Viking heaven, it's like, it's not, it's okay.
Yeah.
It looks like a retirement home. It's like, this is, like, the afterlife, ugh. So, I don't know, yeah, that was just a little weird, but Skyrim was awesome.
But I mean, the whole game is as a whole phenomenal. The DLC I thought was all really good. Looks gorgeous. Like, I love that game.
It was definitely a very fun. It was a fun game to play through for like that first 30 hours or so. I don't know if
I've put several hundred hours.
I was like the guy like you who's just like, I'm just going to keep on playing this and playing this and. So what about Nintendo stuff with the Wii?
We haven't said much about Nintendo.
The Wii had some really great games.
Yeah, you had Skyward Sword. Well, you had the Mario Galaxy titles.
I mean, Galaxy 1 and Galaxy 2 especially are probably the best 3D platformers ever made, I think. Mario Galaxy 2, I think, is the best Mario game now. And, you know, it's kind of say something because there's been a lot of really good Mario games.
Yeah.
Skyward Sword, again, it's the last Zelda game released, so people aren't hard on it, but I love Skyward Sword.
I like it, too.
I thought Skyward Sword was really interesting. I thought it did a lot of good things for that series. And it's, I think that, and talking about Zelda, I think that and Link Between Worlds did a lot of good
things. Worlds, yeah, I'd put that high in my consideration, honestly. That was really, really good.
Yeah, that was kind of a big... I don't say out of nowhere, but like that was like you thought it'd just be like this fun nostalgia trip, and then it was like, oh, this is like innovative.
It was both.
Yeah,
which I think is what made it so good. Like it was familiar yet new.
Yeah. So how about more like portable gaming kind of a things?
I mean, obviously, Pokemon finally made a proper shift to 3D.
Yeah, that was fine. Favorite Pokemon game in the last 10 years was probably Black and White, the last DS ones. It's because they actually kind of had...
I never even finished
Black and White. They kind of actually had a decent story compared to all the other ones.
I never finished it. I never even played Black and White 2.
That's the first Pokemon game
I ever skipped.
But I liked Black and White a lot. Fire Emblem Awakening was fantastic.
Yeah.
I think that's still the best 3DS game. Bravely Default was great. But I loved Gravity Rush, man. I still like go on about that. I hope they're actually making that sequel.
The one Vita game that bears mentioning, probably.
Well, it's funny because I play my Vita a lot.
Yeah, you use it for all your JRPGs.
Right, because it's just so fantastic for me. Like, I'm going to play JRPGs as I miss. So I started with getting the PSP version of Persona 3. Then I got Persona 4 Golden, which was released on Vita.
Mm-hmm.
Then,
PS1 games.
Yeah, a bunch of...
Suikoden.
I played Suikoden 1. I'm in the middle of Suikoden 2. You get Final Fantasy 10, 10-2 on there. I got that Yeez game that came out for
me. Yeah.
I played through that. So it's like a JRPG machine. Which is fine by me. I mean, that takes up a lot. It's fine because, I mean, what? You spend $10 on one of these games, you play it for 40 hours.
Yeah. You know? Well, the Vita got me $25 in PlayStation credit from a class action lawsuit settlement, so that's cool. I'm going to use that to buy Metal Gear.
Was the first Mirror's Edge in 2007?
The what?
First Mirror's Edge.
I think probably. So.
Or 2008 or something.
Yeah.
It was that year when EA was like, we're going to make two new franchises, Mirror's Edge and... Dead Zone or
Dead Space.
Dead Space.
I feel like that franchise came and went.
Well,
it was like the first one was like, oh my god, this is so fresh and interesting, and then by the third one was like,
Dead Space 2 was great. The 3, I don't know what.
They were never bad games, but they just didn't have like staying power and the gamer consciousness.
I guess it's that's fine, but I don't know. They were really good. I liked Dead Space 1 a lot. I thought that was a really cool game. So is there anything else? How about anything like more recent? Do you think, like, anything that's come out in the news cycle so far competes with, like, some of your favorite games from the last one? I mean, I like Smash Brothers a lot, obviously. It's kind of a different thing.
Well, Destiny, I think, is worth talking about. Not necessarily for us.
Yeah. I mean, there's things. I mean, I liked Titanfall a lot. I was going to
say, Titanfall is probably my favorite multiplayer shooter of recent memory. Is it better than, like, Team Fortress 2 back in the day? I don't know.
You also had the... You know, like, Arkham Knight is very good. I don't know if it's better than City. Yeah,
the whole Batman Arkham series happened in this.
Right.
It's funny. You can almost forget how many games
happened. I forgot about one of the best ones, really. Red Dead Redemption.
Yeah.
Gosh. I think that's the best open world game to come out this whole time.
Had two GTAs in this time.
Oh my god! When did 4 come out? I think that was 2008, huh?
Mm-hmm.
4. I didn't like 4 at all, and I liked 5. I didn't love it, but I played it.
Played 5.
I actually beat it. I actually beat it. I still don't think those hold a candle to Red Dead Redemption. That's a game where I would almost rather they just make a remaster of it than a sequel. Because I don't know. I just don't know how you make a better.
Oh, it might go backwards compatible, and you can play it again on your Xbox.
That's fine, I guess. That's not quite, I don't know. It'd be interesting to see, like, it's super souped up. Because that never had a PC release, unlike the Grand Theft Auto games.
No, which is too bad, because I'm sure, like, people would have been modding it to do all kinds of great things.
Probably would look awesome, yeah. That is kind of a shame. Well, then, so do you have, like, your... Okay, so what is your... I feel like your favorite is Mass Effect 2, isn't it?
Skyrim.
Oh, you love Skyrim. Yes,
I love Skyrim.
I did like Skyrim.
Now, again, I'll cop out and do my favorite and best. So Skyrim, I think, is my favorite game to come out in the last 8 years. I think the best game to come out is Uncharted 2.
Yeah?
I think it's the best made video game
ever created. It was just so exciting. And like I said, I'm really...
Is that your pick?
Yeah, I think so. And I'm very interested to play it again. But, I mean, at the time, just like the adrenaline kick from one. And, you know, it wasn't just a roller coaster. It was still well-paced.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a roller coaster, but, you know, it was like, non-stop. It was still a good pacing, but just, like, the set piece. I still don't know if anything was cooler than that train level.
Yeah.
Just, like, individually, like, I remember there was one point where you were, like, stuck in, like, a crossfire gunfight, and you're just, like, hanging on, like, a signpost. And it, like, climb around the side.
Oh, yeah, that was cool.
It's, like, just, like, a small thing, even, but it's, like, man, that's, like, really interesting and neat and different.
There was, that one room, like, the water was rising outside, and you shot the glass, and, like, the room started flooding.
Right.
That was amazing.
Right, just always, like, you know, being chased by the helicopter when, like, the building's on. Just, like, stuff was crazy, especially for 2009 or so, or 8. Yeah, 2009 when that happened. That was intense. I'm kind of waiting for this generation's Uncharted 2 in a way, where it's, like, because I feel like that really kickstarted that generation from kind of... games looking, like, good to now we kind of set a standard.
Yeah, which I
Because if you look at games pre-Uncharted 2, they're a little... I don't know, they don't, like... Just look at Uncharted 1 compared to Uncharted 2.
Right, right.
Like, we really tapped the generation a lot better.
I think we're hitting that point finally with these consoles, too.
Right.
When you look at stuff like Batman...
Batman was approved. I think Metal Gear is going to be... That's so weird to me that game is actually coming out, like...
Cross-gen.
The Xbox 360.
Yeah, and it honestly doesn't look that much worse on the last console.
It's still just bizarre. How many people are really going to play Metal Gear Solid 5 on...
Someone is.
The Xbox 360.
It's
funny how the Xbox 360, it already seems like an ancient console now. Because it was around for so long, especially when, like, I was playing Real Replay, I'm, like, playing fucking Cameo. Like, Jesus, man. Yeah. Cameo, older than this show.
You know what makes Cameo feel old? It was HD graphics, but, like, the UI was still not HD, like, in, like, the size of it.
Yeah.
So everything was, like, really these big, thick, chunky letters for, like, the dialogue.
Didn't they have the opposite problem? Was that them with Nuts and Bolts, or somebody else had, like, the problem? Or that was them when Viva Pinata, where the text was, like, too small.
They went the other way.
Yeah, and, like, everyone's like, we can't actually read this thing, help. So, man, it's just, okay, so I guess our general consensus would be Uncharted 2, huh?
Yeah, I guess we'll go with that.
I mean, I guess Skyrim was very... I'm kind of surprised, because you were super...
Oh, no, I mean, Mass Effect 2 is, like, number 2 or 3 on my list, depending on when you ask me.
Yeah.
Look, there were a lot of good games that have come out in 8 years.
I don't know if my number 2 would be. Maybe.
We didn't even talk about downloadable games like Braid Geometry Wars 2.
We'll talk about the last 8 years. I guess freaking Ori would count, and Rocket League. And,
yeah.
But Braid was important just for kind of, I feel like that was like a big kick,
that legitimatized the whole idea of the $15 downloadable indie
game. And also kind of
which I think is what ultimately killed out that kind of B tier of game. Like, you don't see like the $60 mediocre licensed shooter coming out anymore.
Those are just either going to be on mobile or they're going to be downloadable games. Yeah, which is fine in a way.
I think it worked out well for everybody.
Nobody wants to buy a $60 okay game.
Yeah,
buying a $10 okay game, that's much more palatable. All right, then. Anything else you want to talk about here?
In the special zone?
We're in the special zone. Woo! Special zone. Do-do-do-do. What are we talking about? Hearthstone for a minute awkwardly.
Yeah, I got a really good shaman deck.
Yeah, he actually beat me. Yeah, he actually beat me. But,
No, I'm good. I'm excited for Metal Gear next year. Next week. Yeah. Oh, we have to delay it. Hey, here's an interesting question.
I can't wait to see, like, this.
Was Final Fantasy then versus 13 announced before or after we started podcasting? Oh,
I think maybe before.
That's pretty funny.
There's no way they can actually make a profit on that, right?
Oh, wait till Final Fantasy 15-2 comes out.
Oh, they have
3
to.
3 and 4.
They have to just... It's going to be like the same reason there's all those 13 sequels. Like, they need to, like, reuse those assets, man.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be interesting. I wonder what... Because 16 has to be getting worked on.
I guess. Probably.
But you see, it's interesting because they keep talking... Like, they're already, like, on Famitsu. Like, they give updates on the 7 remake, and they're like, well, don't, like, expect that much. We just started working. Like, then why are you talking to people?
Yeah.
They're like, it's weird to me that they're, like, really talking about, like, we're, like, experimenting with combat a lot because we just don't know what to do. I'm like, what about the turn-based ATB system?
Yeah, just make it, like, they're old, like, one. What everyone wants.
They're really like, we can't do that anymore. Like, why not?
Yeah, fuck you guys.
It's like, people were fine with it in Bravely Default. I think it is, like, this weird thing where they just literally think, like, we just can't do that. That's stupid now.
Yeah, like, it's no, like, that's fine. What everyone wants. That's why they want a remake.
It's okay. I don't know. All right, well, thanks for listening to the Exploding Barrel Exploding Barrel podcast for now and the last 8 years. It's not good times.
Yeah.
So, next week we'll probably be talking some Metal Gear. Hopefully we'll both have a little bit of time with it under our belts. Hopefully I'll have beaten it, honestly. But, it's going to be great times. Go to the iTunes Music Store. Check us out. Leave a review. We find off our old shows there. Is the first one on there anymore?
Well, iTunes, like, cuts off.
Yeah, you're right.
But if you go to the website, you can go all the way
back. Go to ebpodcast.com. You can download that first awkward episode of 2007.
Stream it in your browser.
It'll be great.
Good time.
It'll be great. You can listen to me awkwardly talk about, like, Final Fantasy 1 or something. So, all right. So, do that. Go to Twitter, Facebook. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be here next week on the Exploding Barrel podcast.
Bye-bye.